Newberry.com.
No, we're not from West Newberry. No, we can't hip-hop like you. My client is the conqueror. I'm just Brock's advocating Jew. You gonna beat Brock's ass cause you the doctor of the thugs? I mean, you've beaten all the best. But now Lesnar's on your plate. You say your time is now. Brock says your calendar's out of date.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
I have options on how I handle this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tweet about it until my fingers bleed. In that tweet, and however many characters I get, I am going to threaten. That's right. If I don't get what I want, I'm going to riot. And if that doesn't work, then by God, me and my friend Mark, we're going to stop watching.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke. I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be.
And Lindsay Ward.
I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Because sometimes we just need to believe. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by Wrestling Figure Wednesday at PWMania.com. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all the latest stop-motion action figure review needs every Wednesday and Friday, and the occasional exclusive Monday. I'm Sir Rockin, joined, as always, by Lindsay Ward.
Hi.
Mole.
I'm not the mole.
You know, she's going to say she's not the mole. She's the mole.
I'm not the mole.
Yeah, it's clear. It's very evident. You know, you call me the mole. You know, it's the brain. Anyway.
So wait a minute. If we have one brain and I'm supposedly the mole, then doesn't that make you the mole too? Because, you know, you could have sent your idea to WWE since you have all those inside contacts.
No, you're the mole. Just, you know, forget about it. Anyway, it's clear. Lindsay's the mole. Anyway.
Nope.
Monday Night Raw is in Memphis, Tennessee. And we open with Dean Ambrose opens up Monday Night Raw. And basically says, I'm not dead.
We're so proud of you, Dean.
He was so happy to tell everyone he's not dead. Yeah. He's the WWE's ugly stepchild. He's back ever since what happened to him. He's been a little messed up in the head. He's been replaying things in his head time after time after time. He says he can appreciate teaming up against him and stopping his head on center block. And, well, let's go look what happened, and he showed us the replay, and Dean says he has to admit that he is flattered that the authority would go to these lengths to try to get rid of him. He said he's not satisfied and he can hold a grudge. He is sick of the way the authority is protecting their golden child. He says he will not leave this ring until he gets his hands on Seth Rollins because he enjoys punching Seth Rollins in his face. Dean grabs a chair, takes a seat. Here comes the John Cena. Dean tells John he's going to be real honest with him. He, you know, moves the chair out of the way and says he's really bothered and doesn't like the fact that John Cena is standing in the ring with him. He's flying really close to the flame. Dean tells John to not give him a reason to not like him. John says that this is an unfortunate turn of events because they have similar agendas. Seth tried to take him out. John says he had Brock Lesnar beat until that selfish, slimy, closed-minded, rubber-suit-wearing jackass got involved. John Cena says he should be the champion right now. John says that he's cashing in. He's cashing in the ass-kicking in the bank briefcase on Seth Rollins. John tells Dean that no one is going to stop him. And then, well, Dean says, John, he warned him once. Don't get in my way. And, well, John takes off his hat. He's ready for a fight. And then Dean Ambrose slowly, slowly removes his jacket. No response. Okay, cool.
I just squeaked, you know, just...
Out came the Authority, Stephanie included, Kane, Randy Orton, and Seth Rollins trailing in the back. Hunter tells them to relax before they get in a pinch fight over something they have no control over. They both want to fight Seth Rollins, but that won't happen because Seth won't be fighting anyone tonight. Cena interrupts and says, well, it's not, you know, why wait? He goes right after the Authority, so does Dean Ambrose. Seth then gets in the ring. They fight off Orton and Kane, and then they chase Rollins around the crowd and to the back. Stephanie held onto the case for Rollins. So Rollins runs away, but Ambrose and Cena are on the chase. So that's how it started. I should mention that they finally got to the back. They finally caught up to Ambrose. They beat him up a little bit, but he finds the rental car, steals it, throws his suit, and then, well, you know, drives away, and Ambrose tried to jump into the back of the rental car, but he fell out.
Yeah, he did. But I liked the opening segment. It was good. My only complaint is John Cena, you did not have Brock Lesnar beat. We all know you did not have Brock Lesnar beat. Because it's Brock Lesnar. Two, there's a line for Seth Rollins' ass.
Yes, you
are at the end of it.
All right, so
get in the back of the line, dude.
Now explain this line to the people.
There's a line of people who get to own Seth Rollins' ass before John Cena, and at the top of that list, his fiance, then Dean Ambrose. Then Roman Reigns, then the rest of the roster, because they all have a beef that's older than Cena's, then the Authority, then the fans, and finally we get to John Cena. So you know what, dude? You're jumping up ahead of everybody else. Get to the back of the line and stay in the back of the line. And when we get done with him, we'll let you know. Like, I just... No, just, you know what? No, why? Can John Cena just go away?
No.
Like, seriously, can he just go away? Like, he's the bane of my existence right now.
Remember,
I'm so over this hustle, loyalty, respect, keep calm and overcome and all this bullshit.
Keep calm and never give up.
Such incredible bullshit. I'm sorry, it's a great message. It's not an accurate message. Everybody has their breaking point. I want to know John Cena's. I want to know that point where he just finally turns into that monster asshole that we all know is inside of him. We know it's there because we see it on Total Divas. So you know what? The fact that this whole, you know, you can tell this whole hustle, loyalty, respect thing is just a facade is crap. So, you know what? Here's the thing, John. Seth may have cost you a title match, but Seth put Dean through cinder blocks. Dean gets Seth first. And then when Roman gets better, Roman gets Seth. And then, maybe then, after they get done with him, maybe you can have him. But otherwise, just get your nose out of this business, go off and do whatever the hell it is you do, and leave them in peace to kill each other. Because I want to see Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins in Hell in a Cell, and if I don't get that, I'm going to be very upset. And I'm going to blame you. And I'll just add it to the list of things that I already blame you for.
Hashtag blame Cena.
Hashtag blame Cena.
So, we come back from break, and the Authorities with Kane and Werner, they're just, you know, calming each other down, and, well, Hunter says that there's a problem and they will take care of it. Hunter tells Kane that he will be facing Dean Ambrose, while Orton will be facing John Cena. Kane wants to know why they have to fight. Stephanie says that Rollins isn't here, and after what we just saw, maybe they want some retribution. Orton tells Stephanie and Hunter he's sick of Mr. Money in the Bank setting fires that they have to put out, and, you know, I thought of the bear who told us to watch for forest fires at that point, mm-hmm. Smokey the Bear. And I should mention that Brooklyn Brawler tweeted out that tonight on Raw, breaking news, we will see Randy Orton versus Dean Ambrose. Oops.
You tried.
Oops. So another highlight of Monday Night Raw is match number one, The Miz taking on Dolph Ziggler for the Intercontinental Championship. And it's not about the match, the highlight is. No. It's The Miz and Damian Mizdow. Damian Mizdow came out with his own version of the belt. It's kind of awesome.
Which was adorable. I want them to win the tag team titles. I want Mizdow to win the tag titles because it would be hilarious.
It really would be. So they had a pretty good match like they did at the pay-per-view. No Florida-Georgia line there to distract anyone. And in the end, after there's one spot where he did a neckbreaker on from through the ropes and Ziggler almost looked like he'd kill himself.
Yeah, Dolph, honey. No, just no. Got to be careful with that kind of stuff.
Ziggler takes out Sandow with a super kick when he tried to interfere. Miz goes to roll him up but with a handful of tights, but Ziggler rolled through and grabbed a handful of tights of his own, and we saw a little ass crack of the Miz and your new Intercontinental Champion, Dolph Ziggler.
I still want the shots of Dolph from last night. Anybody who's in the front row, please post those on Instagram. I need them for science. That's it, science.
Good match.
Good match, great match. I liked how Ziggler used Miz's finish to
screw with him.
We got a little bit of crackage on the Miz, which is always welcome. So, yeah, I like how they're trading the belts back and forth. I like how you're having this kind of heated rivalry between the Miz and Ziggler. And in the nice guy award of the night, Damian Sandow actually gave his replica IC title after Miz lost to a disabled fan.
Oh, that's nice.
Who became overwhelmed with emotion when Sandow gave it to him. So Sandow wins the nice guy award, which I wish they would highlight when he does stuff like that. Because, seriously, it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it is. Match number two on the show, Bo Dallas, Jack Swagger. A solid matchup between these two foes. In the end, Bo gets yanked off the top rope, put into the ankle lock for the win. Your winner, Jack Swagger, as Bo tapped out after the match. Bo tells Bo that he believes that Jack Swagger made you tap out.
Bless you, Zeb.
He even got high pitch for the believe. It was kind of awesome.
It was hilarious. And Bo's just sitting there like, aww, that's mine.
That's my line.
He just stole my thing.
You don't steal his thing. Come on now, people.
Captain Mushroom will come and get you.
He will. He will get his revenge. Match number three, Summer Rae versus Natalya. Summer cut a promo before the match, says, it's so hard to be the most attractive person in the room. Jealousy breeds hatred, and that's why Natty's so mad at her. And she doesn't need any of those total divas to be her friends. Summer may be over, but it'll never be over for her and Layla.
Lay Cool 2.0.
Yeah. So, we had a... This was actually a really good match for the time given. They had a plan of attack in this one. Summer worked over Natty for a while with the body scissors. But in the end, Natty put on the sharpshooter, and Summer Rae tapped out.
Yes. Solid match. They didn't give as much time to the girls this week as they usually do, which was a little sad, but I'd like to see more between Natty and Summer, because I think they could put together a good match.
Well, the other another set of girls got more time later. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
We have then Dean Ambrose versus Kane and Jeans versus Slacks. The debate continues.
I couldn't pick.
Well, you sort of did. You told me Jeans. And then you went back on your pick. She's very undecided.
I can't pick.
Ambrose is in control. He hits dirty deeds on Kane, but Seth Rollins attacks, and the referee calls for the bell. Winner by disqualification is Dean Ambrose. The attack continues on Ambrose. Ambrose brawls back. It's chokeslammed by Kane, and it leaves the ring. Rollins goes to, well, returns to go after Ambrose, but Ambrose has the chair, and he's like, no, never mind, I'm good. And yeah. So that's how we go to break. We'll stop that there. So, solid match between Ambrose and Kane. Kane's struggling with the chokeslam a little bit nowadays.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, here's the thing. The dude's, what, 47?
Yeah.
Which, there's, you know, nothing wrong with that, but it's eventually he's just not going to be able to get him up anymore because he just can't work out like that anymore. So it's, plus Kane has not been really actively wrestling, I would say, lately, at least on TV.
On TV, yeah.
On house shows, it might be a little different story, but he's not been working every night, so he may be a little bit at practice as well.
This is very, very true. So we come back from break. Rollins and Kane are talking with Triple H. Hunter tells Seth to stop setting these fires, because, you know, he's tired of preventing these forest fires from happening. He says people are getting tired, and, well, Dean Ambrose, you know, shows up. And they brawl for a minute, but then security jumps in. Hunter's ready. Throw him out of the building! Throw him out of the building! No, Steph says, no, don't throw him out. Put him in the closet instead. Because she was like, has there ever been someone we throw out that, you know, doesn't return? She used logic.
Well, there is that one time somebody walked out and never came back.
Yeah, but they never threw them out of the building. They just left on their own.
Very true. Yeah, it's like, throw him out of the building. Oh, well, he's coming back. And Steph's like, no, put him in the closet.
Right.
And props to the WWE Universe Twitter for saying, I guess you could say that at Dean Ambrose is on hashtag lockdown during Raw. It's like, oh my god, you did not. You just did not.
Yeah, they did. At this point in the show, we're going to take a quick time out, and when we come back, we're talking more about Raw, but we're back in 45 seconds.
Next Thursday, in a very special edition of The Rack, we get Rated R.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
That's right. WWE Hall of Famer Adam Edge Copeland joins the show to talk about Haven, fatherhood, and even a little bit of that old wrestling talk. Hear the interview next Thursday afternoon only on Wild Talk Radio at rackradioshow.com.
And by next Thursday, I mean this Thursday. This Thursday afternoon on Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com.
Yep, we have to follow up our fantastic interview with Brian Shields from last week. We have Edge for you this week.
And we're not live. Just clearing that up. We're not live on Thursday, but it'll be available during the day on Thursday for you to listen. So listen to Edge Thursday on the Rack.
Yes, we're also talking about Night of Champions.
Yes, we are. So, go back to Monday Night Raw with a six-man tag team action. Sheamus and the Usos taking on Gold Star, Dust and Cesaro. Long match. Jimmy, Jay, and Sheamus win. It was a long match. It was there. It was a match. There was nothing really to write home about. They tried for the finish from last night, but Sheamus broke it up. Jimmy hit with a super kick, and Jay tags in, hit the super fly splash for the win. So the Usos get a little bit of revenge on Star and Goldust after they took their belts last week. Or last night, rather.
Last night.
Randy Orton is in the back and says and stops Seth Rollins. Seth tells Randy that he is probably in no mood to talk. He says that Randy says he was tired of fighting his battles, but Seth tells Randy he appreciates him taking this battle with Cena as a token of his appreciation. He may have a little surprise for Randy at ringside, and well, he and Kane will also be at ringside to watch the match. Randy likes surprises.
Especially if they're in the form of a cinder block.
Well, anyway. Yeah, he does like cinder blocks. We see the security still watching Dean in the janitor's closet. Mark Henry, go ahead.
And it was awfully quiet in that closet.
Yes, it was. Mark Henry's coming to the ring. He tells everyone he's out here to apologize. He let down this country. He's not 100% physically, but he's also a little bit heartbroken. He says that you are entitled to be to pick on him tonight. The fans chant what? He tells the people they can what if they want. There you go. What if they want tonight? Mark says he's sorry and hates they let everyone down. Rusev and Lana came on the stage. Lana tells Mark he does not have to apologize because they will not accept everyone. Here is also apologetic and pathetic, just like Mark. Lana mocks the USA chants and tells everyone to shut up. She says that Russians are proud people. Lana suggests that Mark get another chance, because the people of Memphis team see on another match between Mark and Rusev. And, well, will Mark fight? He wants the fight. He's gonna take on Rusev tonight. And Lana tells Rusev to crush Mark Henry. And that led to the match, Rusev versus Henry. Solid match between the two. I guess it was better than last night. Again, there's something about Mark Henry and Rusev that doesn't sort of work.
They have no chemistry?
That would be it. Rusev applied the accolade and Henry passed out. So you're a winner, Rusev.
Yeah, I've asked this before. I've asked this and I will ask it again until we get it, you know, resolved. Ooh, deflected and you drop the ball. Sorry, New York. Thanks for coming.
What's the final?
Oh, it's not over yet. They still have a minute 17. And
well, what's the score? What's the score?
Like 27-19, I think.
Oh, close game then.
Very close game, yeah. But Lana's point has been made. Okay, Russia and Russia's super athlete are obviously superior to anything the U.S. can put up at this point. So why don't we just stop making this about U.S. versus Russia? Because it's getting kind of ridiculous at this point. It's like if the first person couldn't get it done, and we're now going into 3 and 4 people attempting to step up against Rusev to prove that the USA is better, and we can't even get it done then yeah, you know what? It doesn't matter. Her point's proven. It's been proven. There's no reason to continue making it about a country versus country feud.
Right.
Just have Rusev go, I'm better than everybody, regardless of if he's Bulgarian, he's Russian, or whatever.
He could be a bunny.
He could be a bunny.
Because the bunny was in action teamed with Adam Rose to take on Slater Gator.
Actually, LeMans, people are becoming disconnected with this feud because nobody gives a crap about this feud.
Like, Jack Swagger got the people behind this feud. Mark Henry can't.
Yeah, because it was Jack and Zeb. And the thing is everybody loved the chemistry between Zeb and Lana. Because Zeb and Lana had a huge amount of chemistry. And Swagger made Rusev look big. He made him look impressive. The thing about this feud is Henry is so much bigger than Rusev that he dwarfs him. And it's not conceivable for a lot of people to look at Rusev and look at Henry and believe that Rusev is enough of a badass to beat Mark Henry, especially since Mark Henry is supposedly the world's strongest man. He puts everybody he comes in contact with into the Hall of Pain, so on and so forth. So it's kind of one of those really unbelievable feuds that's really hard to wrap your head around. And I would have, you know, it's like if you're going to have somebody continue, you should have had Swagger. And you just do the feuds where it's, you have Swagger get close, but, you know, maybe Lana costs in the match. Or something happens, or whatever, you know, like in the case of Swagger passes out in the hold. So Swagger passes out. He doesn't tap out. He passed out. You give him another shot. You give him another chance, another try, because you had Lana and Rusev attack Zeb and take out Zeb, and there was really no retribution from Swagger on his part concerning Zeb. It just kind of was let go.
Alright.
Like,
whatever.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, why not give Swagger another bite at the apple? And if he fails, he fails. But it's, you have Swagger go out there, and because Swagger's the one that's been the closest to defeating Rusev so far. Oh, hey, look at that. They actually scored a touchdown on fourth down.
No, he was out of bounds.
Oh, he was out of bounds. Never mind.
He caught the ball out of bounds.
Womp, 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 womp. But, yeah, I mean, Swagger was the one that got everybody behind it. Swagger was the one that came really, 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 really close to beating Rusev, and it just never went anywhere, partially because they had Rusev win, because they're not ready to hang that loss on Rusev yet, which is fine. But it's like you go from Jack Swagger to Mark Henry, and Mark Henry just does not have the same kind of chemistry with Rusev and Lana that Zeb did and Jack did. It's just, and it's like at this point, it's laughable because, oh yeah, USA, USA, we're so gonna beat the Russian. Who cares? The first person couldn't get it done. Who's gonna care that you do? No one. Once Swagger lost, all the air went out of this feud. All of it. Because nobody cared.
I can't disagree. Like I said, Slater Gator lost to Adam Rose and the Bunny.
I can't believe this match was on Raw instead of the Wyatts.
Yeah. The Bunny was fun for about a minute. Adam Rose and the Bunny win. Dean's still locked in the closet. Nikki comes to the ring. Go ahead.
Again, that room is really, really quiet. Maybe somebody should, I don't know, open the door and check.
They have the key around the neck. He can't get out.
I like to point out, the ceiling is open. If you actually look up, you see that the wall is not full height. So that means that the room is not completely closed in. So he could feasibly get out of that room.
She's bringing a logic into this. Anyway.
Hey, you know what? Stephanie McMahon used logic earlier. We are allowed to use logic here.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway. Nikki comes to the ring and says, a lot of people make an excuse why they didn't win the night champions, but she has a legitimate one. She said she wasn't going to watch what her sister said last night, but she is her flesh and blood, so she could use the support before a match. Then she heard those toxic, horrible, horrific words coming out of Bree's mouth, and it cost her the Divas title match. But being fearless means taking things into your own hands. And she tells Nikki to get her butt out here right now. Bree comes down to the ring. Bree says that Nikki is doing what she does best. She's blaming everyone else for her shortcomings. Nikki says that Bree never supported her. It's always been never been about the Bella Twins. It's always been about Bree. Bree reminds Nikki that she's the one who keeps calling her out here to insult her. Bree says she's going to, and Nikki's like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Nikki calls her an embarrassment to her. To her and the name Bella. She says that Bree doesn't deserve to be called Bella. She should be called Nikki's trashy sister or quitter. She called herself whatever she wants. She can call herself whatever she wants. She wants the Bella name exclusive. She wants to be the Nikki Bella. Bree says that she's not going to give up the Bella name. Nikki asks Bree, why hasn't she taken her husband's name? Has someone got buyer's remorse? Is she regretting getting married to a troll? And then Bree attacks. She slapped her, takes her down, goes for the yes lock. Nikki gets out. And that's where we end, with AJ coming out, skipping to the ring.
Solid segment.
Yeah. Less words. It was good. They didn't overload Brie with words.
No, they didn't. And I like how they had Brie get mad, and she slapped her sister.
So we're going to get a fight over the name. All right. It's better than over a movie role, I guess.
Mm.
Or a shampoo commercial. One brain. So it's Nikki versus AJ in a non-title match. Good match between the two. Highlight was Angry Paige on commentary.
Oh my god, Angry Paige. She's so bitter.
They're no longer frenemies. She's very mad at her former friend. She took her baby. She's just very angry. And she's very sad and angry. And then she's going to get revenge. Doesn't care about Nikki. No one cares about Nikki. Michael Cole trying to throw Jamie under the bus for a while. At one point, AJ got tossed into Paige. Nikki, So Nikki and AJ had a really good match. But AJ applied the Black Widow. Nikki tapped Al. And then after the match, AJ kissed the belt. And Paige was not happy.
No offense to Nikki, but Nikki really had no reason really to be in that match last night. You know, it's just something of Stephanie McMahon goes, here, have a Divas title shot, when everybody wanted to see the rematch between just AJ and Paige. And so it's something of Nikki was really that awkward third wheel in that feud and in that match. And nobody really cared about Nikki in the feud and the match last night or tonight because of the stuff between AJ and Paige and their chemistry together.
Right.
And Nikki never clicked with that because she's not keying into the frenemy thing. She's just coming in, you know, as the authority stooge and being like, I'm going to take my title. It's like, no, honey, no, you're not.
So now we've moved Nikki and Brie back to themselves, and AJ and Paige are going to be by themselves, so we'll get what we need.
Please, God.
One more check of the room. This time, this was the port with the key, and Triple H was checking on it. Still very, very quiet. Then we get to our main event, John Cena, Randy Orton. It was a John Cena, Randy Orton match. That's all I really can say. It was just, you know, it was a good match. It's John Cena, Randy Orton. They all never have a bad match. So in the end, Kane and Rollins interfere. They go after Cena. They beat him up for a little bit. Gets a chokeslam. That time he lifted Cena up high, so that time he got it up. Then there's a present waiting. So they go over with their present. They lift it up. It's not cinder blocks, it's Dean Ambrose. And Dean Ambrose goes on the attack. He starts fighting everybody. Rollins starts to run through the crowd. Orton and Kane get taken out. Orton gets taken down by Dean Ambrose. Kane gets taken out by John Cena. Everyone goes crazy. The crowd goes nuts. Ambrose and Cena stand tall. And that's Monday Night Raw. Mole. Mole, 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 mole.
Not the mole.
Mole.
But this was a nice little surprise with Dean coming out of the box and attacking everyone. It was a little expected, especially when you saw the box.
It was a big box.
It was a huge box. It was much smaller than the one that actually just had the center block, so you knew somebody was probably under it. And, yeah, but I liked how they had Dean surprise and jump everybody. It keeps that whole lunatic fringe thing going. In terms of the match with John Cena and Randy Orton, I just really, and yeah, I didn't care. Honestly, I didn't pay attention. And I'm sorry to say that. That makes me a bad wrestling fan, I know. But I'm just over this. Like, over John Cena, over Randy Orton. Mainly because I have not gotten my Wyatts in two shows, and I'm a little bitter and upset and pissed off about that. And I know it's two shows, but I watch WWE pretty much for the Wyatt family, and the fact that they were not involved in Night of Champions, the fact that they were not involved tonight, was really kind of annoying and upsetting to me on a lot of levels. So, you know, the fact that they kind of wasted a lot of time on this show. They didn't really move anything along on this show, short of you you cemented the breakup between AJ and Paige. You moved Nikki back onto Brie. And Dean Ambrose is just attacking everybody. That's, you know, the rest of the show is really kind of a huge waste of time on a lot of levels. Like, there was a lot of filler, and it's just like, really? I mean, really? You can't even have, you know, Bray Wyatt come on and cut a 5-minute promo?
Could have beat the Matadors.
So, it's, yeah. But just in general, this show kind of echoed what Night of Champions was last night. It had its high points, but it was just really kind of boring. It's batshit. And I hate saying that, because I don't want to be negative about it, but I just really didn't enjoy this show at all.
Yeah, it was hard to enjoy. But that will do it for the Raw Post Show Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As we mentioned, Thursday night in a special edition of The Rack, we will be joined by the one, the only, the Rated R Superstar, Edge.
Yes, tune in to listen to Edge as we talk to him all about his upcoming season of Haven, how he became a better actor. We're talking a little wrestling and so much more, so you don't want to miss that. Also, we're going to be talking about Night of Champions. We're going to be giving our thoughts on the show. There's probably going to be a rant or two, so you're not going to want to miss that. Remember, we are not live this week on the show. It is going to be pre-taped, as I have a commitment. So tune in Thursday night for the pre-recorded edition of The Rack.
Yeah, it'll be available sometime Thursday to download on Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com. Saturday night, Friday afternoon sometime will be the Rack Extra Season 3, Episode 3 review of Total Divas. Saturday night, midnight-ish, is CB Radio, The Weird, The Wacky, and The Unusual, Episode 350, this Saturday night. Tune in. Follow that show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR on Facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. Sunday night, back at 10 p.m. Eastern, it's Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mason Omega. They'll cover the week in pro wrestling. Follow that show on Twitter at WTR Sunday and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. And we'll be back next Monday night, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the Raw Post Show. Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LANSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard. Same as the Twitter, and don't forget to tune into The Rack Thursday afternoon on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thanks to PWMania.com and Wrestling Figure Wednesday at youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you next Monday for the Raw Post Show. And check out Edge on the Rack this Thursday, live. Well, taped on WildTalkRadio.com and RockRadioShow.com. We'll be back next week. See ya.